Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Clock Talk with Dr. Greg Braden. Today, we're going to talk about the prostate-specific antigen test, otherwise known as PSA. So, what is it? And what is it supposed to do? And what was it intended to do when it first started?
Okay, I love it. You said exactly. It's a prostate-specific antigen. What an antigen is a protein. Picture, people say, what's your blood type? I'm an A, a B, RH. Those are, a red blood cell looks like a frisbee, like a little frisbee. And on top of these, there's hundreds of proteins on them. And there's a couple major ones that can cause problems if they don't match up. So that protein is an antigen. So the prostate, a guy named Dr. Richard Albin, he was at Rochester University and at University of Arizona, found this prostate-specific antigen, not prostate cancer screening test. And it was just specific antigen, different men, different size, different volume. And the prostate, picture like a size of walnut with a straw going through it at the base of your bladder. The straw is the urethra. So you can urinate. So therefore, when the prostate constricts, it can cause impediment on that flow. There's two major cell types on that. There's the stromal, which is the structure of it. When that gets hypergrowing, that's called benign prostatic hypertrophy, BPH. You have the cells within there called the epidermal cells. When that grows, that could be a cancer. That's the cancer. So there's different. So the benign is a different structure than the cell that causes cancer. And so the PSA test was vintage to identify that protein. And I can't stress Richard Albin's book. He wrote a book called PSA Hoax, with the whole history of how he isolated it. And the test has been used now as a screening test. And in a lot of places, actually replaced a digital rectal exam.
Yeah, why is that? Just doctors didn't want to do it anymore?
I don't know. I was an OBGYN, so I was not a pro in that. But I was trained before I did an ultrasound or before I did any type of imaging procedure on a patient. I'd always touch it because your hands are very sensitive. So imaging is phenomenal. So I'm not anti-imaging, but it's a combination of your hands, hearing the patient's symptoms, how things move, and then use your imaging together and using screen tests. But it's became the standardized test. It's anything over 4, or 1.5 increase per year, the velocity aspect to that. But again, about men my age, I'm 63, over the age of 60, about 15% of men with normal PSA could have a cancer. So that's why it's the data. It goes back to the test. We'll go back in a few minutes. But Jim, it is a specific test, not for cancer. It is a protein for prostate.
Right. And so when there's the velocity increase, basically there's more protein.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So why? Sitting in a motorcycle, riding a bicycle, being intimate, long drives. There's a prostatitis, an infection. There's a multiple reasons would be high other than cancer. So that's why it's important to understand that what causes it. That's why you don't go run to a biopsy. No urologist runs to the biopsy, depends on the number, but you treat the symptoms, see what the cause is, and then repeat it.
Yeah, and I think I read somewhere a long time ago, haven't really read it recently, that a high fat diet with basically a meat diet caused PSAs to spike. Yeah, I haven't read that recently, but that seemed to be what was going on. Let's say the 90s, whatever.
Anything else?
Okay. I reckon on that. But here's the thing, Jim, is you think about it. In the prostate, testosterone converts to estrogen that we've talked before. Okay. Estradiol, endogenous testosterone. That enzyme that causes that is not in prostate cells. Now, why is that important? Think about this. An 8-year-old boy, we'll use him, has the highest testosterone. Why does he not have cancer if that's the cause?
Right.
So there's a great book by Dr. Thomas Friedman that talks about this. It talks about a lot of the science. And
it appears that the high testosterone,
back to this again, estrogen, there's two receptors for this, an alpha and a beta. That's bad, that's good. This one increases a thing called BCL-2, which protects cancer cells. It also increases inflammation, while this one does just the opposite. So in younger men, you have high this, You don't have the enzyme for this. Is called the hormone theory. No, this is just talking. It's not. We don't. This is not fact.
There's no paper.
There's a lot of papers, but there's controversy. There's basically seven different models of cancer, and this one just makes sense to me because why does this person not get it? Now, when you age, you lose this, you increase this, and then you increase that. So that seems to be a protector. And Friedman's paper talks a lot about the actual. The actual protection is the testosterone. It's actually beneficial
to have that at a high rate to keep the BPCL-2 down. The alpha receptor is down, not increased, and the beta higher. There's two receptor sites for the estrogen, one inside the cell, one outside the cell. The outside of the cell, the one made more potential to go for cancer. The one inside the nucleus is protective.
So you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
So if you're young, your testosterone level's high, almost a 0% of getting prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So then if you're getting treated with testosterone when you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, there's obviously these studies out there, there's talk from the medical community that the higher your testosterone, the more risk you have of prostate cancer.
Yes.
So let's talk about that.
I can't wait. So Dr. Morgan Talla from Harvard wrote a great book called Testosterone for Life. Good layman writing, great science, but still very easy to read. He's a urologist at Harvard. And he looked back, where did the whole idea of testosterone therapy causing prostate cancer to grow? There's doctors today say it's like putting gasoline on a fire, okay? 1941, the famous paper that Dr. Huggins and Hodges wrote in the University of Chicago, and by the way, Dr. Huggins won the Nobel Prize in 62, we're talking real science here, said that testosterone therapy made in his study a prostate cancer grow. How many men were in his study? One man.
He was
one.
And describe that man.
Yeah, one man. And that man had no testicles. He was castrated for prostate cancer. And Morgenthau's book goes, everybody knows that paper. He went to the library at Harvard and got the paper. Could not believe it was one man. The first is were on dogs. Then the three in the study, two were kicked out of the study, was one in the study. Morgenthau, I'll go over his studies in a moment, but the bottom line, we know that the prostate gland itself gets saturated at 90. So anything over 90 can't make it grow. Now, Morgenthau did a paper, only 13 men in it.
But it was interesting. Men with prostate cancer.
Right, hold on a second. So you're saying if a male has testosterone at 150, the max he could saturate the prostate is at 90.
Okay. So his study was hit 13 men. He gave him pellets. 2.5 years later, he biopsied him again. 2.5 years later, 54% had no sign of prostate cancer. 46% had no change. All right.
These are cancer patients.
Yeah, these are cancer patients. This is a study of only 13 people.
That's better than one.
Then he has a few thousand people with cancer with cancer treated, not treated. He shows those not treated actually have more dementia, cardiovascular disease over time. And that's the issue, is that it's the treatment in America, and again, I'm not a urologist, I'm not a cancer specialist, this is just reading what we're doing here.
Because at Upland Bio, we get PSA before treatment, during treatment, after treatment, we're compulsive on doing the standard of care. But it's interesting to say, just what you said, the young kid who's high naturally has a protective event. So what's interesting is that he just showed that the idea that the testosterone itself, again, goes back to, well, what else could it be? And that's why Dr. Friedman's book concerning the hormone theory makes a lot of sense to me, because the testosterone is actually protective. But in America, you turn off all testosterone. And yes, it goes away, the cancer. But if it reoccurs after 2 years, it has a higher recurrence rate and a higher death rate. But even those who are treated have more osteoporosis, more dementia, more cardiovascular disease. Testosterone has hundreds of functions that are beneficial. That's why I think it's really, really important that they do a lot more studies and look at this, is why does a high testosterone state seem to protect a young man, and a low testosterone state increases the risk as you age?
So walk us through the cancer treatment, because you said before they take away your testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do they do?
Medically, they give medications that actually turn off the production of testosterone, making you in a hypo testosterone state.
And what does that do to the prostate? Just
shrivels it up, so the PSA goes, the whole goes of the PSA to zero.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And then there's radiation therapy, surgical therapy. The important part doesn't understand, what I'm trying to figure wrap my head around is testosterone is phenomenal for dementia, for anti-diabetes, for osteoporosis, for anxiety, depression, diabetes in a sense, 6 months of treatment of testosterone lowers hemoglobin A1C by 17.6%. There's all these health benefits to it. And it seems to protect at a younger age. That's why I can't stress Dr. Freeman's books enough. But the data that Dr. Morgenthau talks about in his book, in fact, chapter 7 and chapter 9, specifically on cancer, does show the studies that it seems men with cancer who are treated are doing better. Now, you got to make sure you get the MRI, get all the stuff you got done, but follow the protocol. But it appears there's a protection from that. It appears to be because it turns off the estrogen alpha receptors. That's the key. That's why you want the estrogen levels not too low, not too high, in a sweet spot.
Interesting. Because before, you made a comment that the test really isn't a cancer indicator per se.
Okay, this guy, the guy who invented it, says it's not for that.
But if the treatment then is to reduce the PSA to zero, how do you know if you're cancer free?
You got to read the book, because I know it exactly. Because again, men with normal PSAs in my age group can actually have 50% of have prostate cancer. The big saying is all men will have prostate cancer. Not all will die of it, or they'll die with it, right?
Right.
The actual number, it's 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer diagnosed, 1 in 36 will die it. But dying with it and having it are two different ball games. So the question is, this oncologist you're looking at, who's the aggressive one? Which is the one that spreads the lymph nodes? Which one that spreads? That's the studies that we're doing on it. But it really appears that the lower your estrogen to your estrogen alpha receptors are, the more protection you have of this protein called the BCL-2. You want to low that. Because again, what that does is it actually basically blocks the immune system from seeing these cancer cells. So your body can't get rid of them. There's a protein in a body called a tumor suppressor gene called P53. P53, like this is DNA. It's a huge molecule. It wraps on the DNA and finds if there's been a nuclear, a DNA paste pair that's messed up. So it goes in there, finds the mess up part of it, and then it actually heals it. When that thing decreases, which happens in high estrogen alpha receptor states, that is not functioning properly as well. So it actually fixes repair and allows for the DNA to replicate over time without errors in it. So that molecule is extremely important. So that's one of the theories behind how some people have a good P53 are not having these cancer cells grow. If we had a cure for cancer, obviously we'd be
the world. Right.
But you look at Dr. Sayfield's papers out of Boston University. He believes it has to do with sugar, because mitochondria in cancer cells will only get energy from fermentation, from sugar, will not get it from fat. You have studies out of Japan showing glandular cells, the actual gland itself, to keep that structure. It's called the sodium iodine system, where they pump in one iodine molecule and 2 sodium out, has decreased breast cancer in Japan and decreased prostate cancer in Japan, because glandular cells in men is the prostate, glandular cells in women are the breast tissue. There's all these things, vitamin D above 65 has been shown to decrease recurrence of breast cancer and prostate cancer, because it goes around, it strengthens the immune system. I mean, we do this over and over and over again, but it's this environment we live on. What's kicking the environment for the oncogenes to go? You know, we have brilliant scientists working on that right now, but I think there's ways to help the body heal itself with the right supplementation and hormone basis.
So what can one do for good prostate health?
It appears that, again, vitamin D, iodine, fasting is another thing. It's sugar is the culprit. And it's not just sugar in the sense of all sugar. It's when you eat. Because when you eat, every time you eat an amount of sugar, you make insulin. So the goal is to make as little insulin as possible, which is job is besides storing fat, is an inflammatory process. So I'm a big believer in intermittent fasting. I think that's been shown. Intermittent fasting has shown increased testosterone naturally as well. I'm a big believer. When you see the studies that meat's bad, Dr. Sean Baker's studies and the book, The Carnivore Diet, have spelled all those things. It tells what meat is it. Is that meat been injected with steroids? Is that meat been injected with antibiotics versus just grass-fed, free-range meat? So this is very important to understand that goes in the study. The last study Harvard has released last week showing that that a meat diet increases diabetes. The meat in the study was lasagna.
Get out of here.
No joke, no kidding. Sean destroyed that paper. So that's why it's important to read these things. Is there meat in lasagna? I'm sure there is, but it's not eating a ribeye. So that's why it's important to understand this data. you know, the Rockefeller Institute a few years ago said they listed the most healthy foods. Kale was one, but then cereal was like number two. Eggs and meat were the worst. This is it's be the opposite. I believe the fad today is a standard American diet, not the way we ate 100 years ago.
So with about 18 seconds left, salt palmetto.
Salt palmetto is great. There's that.
Tea goes to dihydrotestosterone, which we need. This molecule, this enzyme here called 5-alpha reductase, that can actually block that, decreasing that. What's interesting, people that are born without this enzyme never have prostate cancer. Let that sink in.
Hope that helps.
Clock Talk with Dr. Greg Brannon. As always, thank you.